Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Backyard. This is Margaret Marshall, your host, and I'd like to welcome you to our Labrish. And I want to thank you all for tuning in tonight and to tell you that this week I'm on my game. I know I was a little rusty last week because, as I mentioned to my fans, I had a day of medical situations I was taking care of, but it's nothing serious. All the things that I'm managing, and I am feeling fine this evening, and I thank everyone for all their good wishes and emails and concern. But as usual, I'm going to ask you to take a minute and get rid of the cares of the day and just pretend we're going to take a virtual trip to Jamaica, land we love. Because here in the backyard, we gather together every week at 8 o'clock, thanks to Blog Talk Radio. We get together virtually to celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica, land we love. And if you're on my list, you know that this week we're talking about the good old days. And what we're going to be doing tonight for those of us who grew up on the island, we remember things we used to do or use when we were young that we know may not be being used and done today. So we want to share with the rest of the world what we remember, because there's nothing like getting it from the horse's mouth, the people who lived it. So I am hoping that these archives will be here to serve the next generation and the generation after that. Because as I tell all my fans, I am a senior, but I'm very techie, and I'm not very techie, but I'm embracing the new technology, and I encourage all my peers to do so, because it's just wonderful what we can do once we are in cyberspace. We can tell the world about us without revealing everything, and we can have a voice. We can, most of all, leave a living history. So that's what I'd like to encourage my fans to do with me, because that was my whole objective of starting this show. So I hope that you're enjoying it as much as I am. and I want to welcome everybody tonight. I also want to tell you that we have a special guest co-host tonight, and I am going to ask that guest as soon if he is ready. Just hit one on your telephone so I can welcome you to the fans and the rest of the world. And while we pretend we are in our favorite tree at our favorite location in Jamaica with the wind blowing gently across our faces, those trade winds that we know so well or remember so well, we'll just relax and chill and get in the mood of a good old-fashioned lavish. So I see a raised hand on the board, and I would like to tell my guest that we're welcoming in. I have him introduce himself, but he's going to sort of give us a run-through of our history, of where we were, where we sort of started, and where we are today, and we'll just fill in with what we remember about when we were growing up. So I'm going to open the mic, and welcome to the Labrish. Is this my co-host?
This is.
Hello.
Hello.
And who are you, sir, and where are you calling from?
This is Lay from Snowy Bronx.
Ooh. It's not home of the Yankees.
It's
going to
be if we get rid of all of the snow.
Well, I must tell my audience that Lay is a faithful fan, and he is also a fan of the Yankees. Is it the Yankees?
Yes.
Okay, all right. So you're snowed in, but you
snowed
are going
in.
To share with us from your easy chair virtually in another. You know, don't worry about the snow. Did you get in the groove of that warm-up music?
Right.
And that was done for us by Mr. Ken McLeod.
Yeah.
L-E-O-D, yes.
Kevin.
So I enjoy him very much, and I hope my fans do too. That little classic reggae beat just sort of get me in the mood. So what do you have to share with us now to bring us up to par?
Well, I think tonight we want to take a look at how things were way back when, and compare them to, what it is, what we used to do when we were young, and all this is happening before independence, because like yourself, we all left the island at a point where we were still experiencing the good old times.
Mm-hmm.
And just to put things in perspective, things are always evolving and changing. So we're gonna picture ourselves way back when the Jamaica was not even called Jamaica yet. So even if you look at things in a historical perspective, it is easy to see and to experience that across the board, things that used to be have changed.
Right.
And is constantly changing over time. Back when Columbus discovered Jamaica in 1494, Jamaica was a Spanish possession known as Santiago.
Mm-hmm.
And for the next, let's say, 160 years, it remained in Spanish hands. Until it passed to the English,
right,
in 1655. I mean, a lot of this stuff we went over in various
shows
previously, but this
mm-hmm.
is just like a review to fit into our theme of back way back when and how we used to do things and how they change. And Jamaica was later known as a British colony for over 300 years until Jamaica achieved its independence in, when was that,
1962.
And now Jamaica's status again changes.
Since when?
Well, since that time. I mean,
you mean since the independence?
Yes, it's constantly changing, and the people are changing in their approach to things and the things that they do. And now Jamaica is a member of the British Commonwealth.
Uh-huh.
So all the time things are changing, and with these changes, the customs and culture of the country change accordingly.
Right. And that's one of the reasons I think it's so important for people who sort of experienced a difference like pre-independence. I just think it is important for us to leave, you know, a bit personally from us verbally so other people can hear what we thought, what we did, because it's different from when somebody writes about it. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, yes. And a lot of things, the reason I go this far is because when I went to school, some of the things that are historical were not presented to us.
Right, right.
And for good reason, because we were British, and the British gave us history the way they saw it, and a lot of the things we had to find out for ourselves. And it's good. This blog that you're doing gives us an appreciation of the good old times. Well, maybe not so good, because during the first 100 years of British rule, Jamaica became a leading exporter of sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And that industry was almost totally dependent on slaves. Now, we didn't know too much about slavery in our history books.
Right.
I don't know if you, but...
No. Mm-mm.
We just didn't have an appreciation of what happened.
Right.
But after the abolition of slavery in 1834 to 1838, the British, to support their sugar business, imported Indian and Chinese workers to supplement the labor pool. So for the next, let's say, 130 years, from that time, 1838 to 1962, we see a vast cultural change again from our grandparents' time to our times. That's our time, pre-independence time.
Right.
So we find that when we were growing up, we were just starting the bauxite production trading, which is now replacing that sugar trading. And because of this bauxite production, it impacted the island culturally again, and the middle class emerged, because now you have technical people, engineers, and people making a lot more money from the bauxite industry, as opposed to previously when we were an agrarian society where, you know, we worked the soil.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're getting to a point now where we're getting up in the world, are competing with the modern world, so to speak. I mean, who can remember Dirt Road, you know? I used to go to country once in a while with my father, and I would notice that...
What part of the island?
All over, you know, different parts. I would. My idea was to go for a drive with him, but I wasn't aware of all the things that, you know, I've become aware of growing up. So you find at that stage that most of the roads were dirt roads, except about a third of the main road. Yeah, we had paved roads closer to the cities, the urban cities.
Right.
And I can remember going to school, and you see people going to work in choo-choo bus. You remember those days?
Oh, isn't it choo-choo bus?
Call it choo-choo bus.
When it stopped, it would say shh.
Yes, right.
It's choo-choo bus.
I
don't know if somebody has a hand up, so I guess they want to correct us. Hold one second, please. You want to take a caller now, Mr. Lay?
Sure, you take a caller.
Okay. I have 678-691 opened. Good evening. Welcome to the Backyard.
Hi, good evening. Miss Margaret from Backyard Labrish. This
Hi,
is one
dear.
Cecilia
yeah?
from Crosstown.
Okay, Ms.
I got
Cecilia
your message on the phone, and I just got in. So let me tell you what I remember fondly was a bottle of Q-Tex that as teenager we passed around. Everybody had a little bit. Everybody polished their nail with the same bottle of Q-Tex.
All right. And it was one color, red.
Yes, it was red, bright red. And
whoever
had the money to buy the Q-Tex, and 5, 6, 7 of us teenage girls shared that Q-Tex. And of course, we didn't have any Q-Tex remover, so we had to let it flake off, you know? And you pick it off when it start getting ugly. But that's a good memory that I remember.
Oh, great. Well, thank you for sharing.
I just got in and I don't know what you had. But that was my good memory.
Well, Lay, our guest host, is bringing us sort of up to date with how things change and evolve over time.
Mm-hmm.
So what we were trying to clarify is whether the bus, you remember when the bus system came in first?
Yes,
I had to
take the number 3 bus to go home, the Constant Spring bus.
Right, but
that
there was
number 3.
I don't know if you were around that time, like my co-host and me, but I think it was called the Chichi bus, and he mentioned it was the Choo Choo bus.
Well,
so we're trying to clarify. And
I remember the tram. I was small child, but I rode the tram.
I believe when it stopped, it went shh, and that is how we give a name.
Identified, right. I think we called it JOS bus.
Oh, I got you. All right, I see 301 want to pipe in here. So if you want to stay open, Miss Cecilia, I'll leave you open, but I'll open now to 301.
Sure, go ahead. Let me hear.
402. Welcome to the backyard. This is Margaret and Lay. Who do I have?
Who, me?
301-942. It sounds like a voice. I know Miss BJ.
Margaret, I'm having the time of my life here. I'm on my slimline telephone because I have no electricity, and I have my kerosene lamp and my candles, and it was the Chichi bus.
Oh, yes, thank you. So, like, you're back in the day if you have your kerosene lamp.
Yes, my dear, because the electricity is off. I had to plug out the PC and plug out the TV and everything all went out.
You can't beat the good old things that still work.
All right, and we have about 10 inches of snow out there.
Wow.
Oh, really? And they lost electricity up there. Where do you live?
In Silver Spring, Maryland.
Oh.
Well, we had that a couple of weeks ago. Cecilia is in my city. So we had that a couple of weeks ago. Now I see that 631-451. Your mic is open, 631-451. Who do we have?
Hi, Margaret. This is Janine.
Hi, Janine. Welcome to the backyard.
How are you?
Great.
Yes, well, I miss that freedom that we had in Jamaica, because when I was there growing up, we could walk anywhere, and it was safe. Nobody would do us anything, so I really miss the freedom that they're having now. I think the people living there are being deprived with that type of living, where they're more living in fear than freedom. And I remember the Selvita iron, which we used to put in the coal stove. And the coal stove. And, you know, we had a lot of stuff that we used to use there. You know, the kerosene lamp, which somebody just mentioned, the tram, and the washing board, you know, the clothesline.
Right. So do you remember, well, I think BJ clarified that it was the Chichi Bus. Our guest host this evening is Mr. Lay from the Bronx, home of the Yankees.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
he was bringing us up to date with the changes. So
mm-hmm.
we just were trying to clarify at this time whether it was the Chichi Bus or the Chichi Bus.
It was
so,
two for one.
Three now for one, Mr. Lay. So,
yes.
Mr. Lay, if you'd go on with the rest of your bring us up to date, then we can chime in with what we remember.
Well,
the floor is yours.
You can continue because some of the things that I was going to mention are already included. Somebody mentioned the tram.
Uh-huh.
And,
I rode a tram with my father when I was little, but I rode it with him.
Well, I may be a little older than little.
No, I was like under five, I think, when
right.
I rode the tram.
Yeah,
under five.
Yes, well, I barely remember horse and buggy.
Oh, no, man, what I remember, donkey cart.
All right, donkey cart,
they never have a horse and buggy. Everybody had a donkey, and they would have the cart.
Where in Jamaica are you referring to when you say donkey?
Kingston? Not everybody had a donkey, but the people that donkey cart was the hauler, you know, the truck.
Well, as far as I can remember, the donkey cart usually was always around, like, the market area.
Yeah, but
right,
that's
true. For people to use the donkey cart unless they had that type of business where they needed.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yes.
Were
like the truckers.
I don't remember the donkey cart, but I remember the horse-drawn bread cart.
I remember
right.
that too, Mr. Morgan.
No, purity bread.
It was a mule.
It was horse. We thought
it was
horse.
Yes.
It looked like horse to me.
Right. I remember. It came by at a certain time in the morning, and I just remember when the bread man opened the back of that truck.
It smelled so good.
It was a horse aroma.
I can actually smell it in my dreams as I'm recalling it.
Yeah.
And
but you know, like at Easter, when it come Easter, they didn't make too many breads because all they made was that bun and cheese. And I didn't eat bun and cheese. I didn't eat bun. I eat cheese. So my mother, from the week before Easter, would start going out there to Mr. Morgan. That was his name, the bread man.
Uh-huh.
Do Mr. Morgan, please don't forget. Do Mr. Morgan, don't forget to bring the bread for, you know, the picnic or eat bun. me being the pygmy that didn't eat bun, you know?
Oh, I got you.
And, but there was also a bakery down by Coronation Market that I can remember. Although the bread man used to come and drop off certain bread for us, my mother used to go there, and that's where she would get the hard dough bread.
Yeah, he would bring hard dough bread, and then they had like a cake. It was, I think it was threepence for it, and it was big and round, and it had ginger.
Bulla.
It was bulla. No, it wasn't bulla. You think me to know the difference on bulla from here?
Toto.
And a toto and a bulla is a round. It was all wrapped up.
Toto.
It wasn't toto.
Toto. Yes. Toto.
Me know toto. Toto is like hard bulla.
Yes.
No, toto is a different thing. Because threepence, I mean, toto was like penny.
Oh.
Well, I don't remember the prices of it.
I don't remember that one.
I remember
my favorite bread. Who remember peg bread?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Peg
bread. When you break off a piece and the duck bread.
Yeah, the duck
bread. When you go to a wedding, they're
all sort of fused together.
Yes.
And then you break them off. Oh, that the texture of that bread was different from any other bread.
Yes.
And you can still get it in Canada now.
Really?
Yes, I've gotten it there because I have a niece here that when I go to Canada, I have to bring back this peg bread every time through the border. Yeah. And you were speaking of horses, and on a very somber note, do you remember the hearse drawn by the horses?
Yes, the horse-drawn horses. Yes.
Man, that was nice. I still like that. I wish they still had it.
Yes.
Well, we did a show about that, and I think someone mentioned to me that the plume, you remember that feather plume?
That
depicted whether it was either a man or a woman or an old or a young person. I never knew that. Did you know that? What does it depict?
No, I didn't know anything about horse.
Well, they used to put a feather on the horse when it was funeral.
Oh, I don't remember that at all.
They had
two parts, it had two places where you'd put a feather.
Yes.
One on the right and one on the left.
Yes.
It is a man-made feather.
Yes.
It is. And someone, I don't remember what the caller said, but they either said it was a black and white, it was an older person or a man or a woman. Something. Does anybody remember?
Oh, you mean the dead? Who the dead was?
Yes.
It
represented whatever the person was, but I can't remember, honest, with the detail, but it's like I'm seeing it now.
I don't even remember it being
And the person that drove the hearse, he had on a felt top hat.
Top hat.
It was like in tails.
Yes.
There was
no
what it called tails.
It was in
tails.
Yes.
It was a formal affair.
Yes, it was.
I would consider it more respected. It was more stately.
And then you had to walk behind that horse, you know, because the dead have to be in front of you or something. I think they still do that. I mean, they do that even here. The hearse is in front and all the mourners are behind.
Right.
Even here they do that.
Traditional. Mm-hmm. Well, Lay, are you finished with your...
No, he's not.
More or less, the only thing I remember about, just briefly going back to that, the bread business, I was so in with my bread man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we lived at a corner house, so he would let me drive the cart from the...
Mr. Morgan used to let Clement do it, my brother.
From the side entrance to the front entrance.
Right.
You know?
Mr. Morgan would give Clement a blight to ride his horse, to ride the cart. And he
was
so
like,
happy going...
Yes.
Remember that?
Like John Wayne for about 5
yes,
minutes.
Yes, for a minute. But they wouldn't let girls do that kind of stuff. They didn't go to girls.
No.
I'm not talking to Matisse nor nothing, but, you know, they just didn't include females in any of the fun stuff.
That's what you think.
Yeah.
Well, I
well,
do it myself.
I think the ones who were sort of trailblazers would do anything. Does that mean you were one of them, BJ?
Of course. I used to hop on the tram and hop off the tram.
Oh my goodness. Let me just say, did you remember something else, Cecilia?
Not a thing, my dear. I'm just listening.
Okay. Well, who remembers when the boys or the young men used to use the bicycle clip to clip up their pants?
So
it wouldn't get in the spokes.
In the chain.
What do you mean, young? Everybody did that.
Well,
all men did that.
I just brought that in.
And those that didn't have clip would use pin.
No, but most people had a clip. I don't know about the pin. But
I know that my husband
used to use the clip, and I always see other people use the clip. I really never saw the pin.
Well,
I
you want to hear a story?
Uh-huh,
I
yes.
see a guy with pin at Crossroads. Him never having a clip. He might have pin.
Well,
and pin up in trousers.
Well,
okay, Mr. Lee, what's the story?
The story is I got my first long pants, and I went to Sunday school and benediction, and on my bicycle to go show it off.
Mm.
And I forgot to put the clip on.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think happened to my brand new tropical?
No.
You got
pants?
All that grease.
All that black grease on it.
Your mother didn't beat you.
Tore the pants to shreds.
He was a special child, honey. He didn't get flogged.
Excuse me.
You deserve
everybody
a beating.
Get lick.
Don't bother with that. Just watch what happened to my pants.
Right. I know you.
Never mind the pants.
If
your mother pants,
there.
you didn't have a. Did you have a job?
I had to go back to short pants.
But did you have a job?
A job? Hell no.
No.
So if you didn't have a job, so your mother pants, you mess up. Because it's your mother money buy.
No, honey, not him.
But
anyway,
this is her money by the pants.
Well, for your information, I had a private tailor.
Listen to me. Don't go there, please.
Your parents.
Just grieve a little bit.
Beg your pardon?
You're talking
to a very privileged young man, so we won't go there. Just let him remember what he remember.
I just need a little pussy. For my first long pants going to shred.
All right. You got his sympathy.
All right.
Poor baby. My heart bleeds peanut butter and jelly for you.
Okay. You know what? There are some people who just had special privileges. But let's get back to the things we remember that people don't use anymore. As well, not a lot of it.
Right.
But who
I
remember when every house had a bread pan?
Yes.
Mm-mm.
A bread pan.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you got the bread from the bread man, you would put it in the bread pan.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that?
Yes.
Who remembers the icebox?
Yes.
When the ice
I remember
man
the icebox.
Would
the ice
come,
man come with a block
with
of
ice. And that, you know, that big thing they used to clamp over the ice?
Yes.
Yeah.
And that block would fit right in the icebox.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
When he chipped the ice. When he chipped
right.
it to
well,
the,
well,
to the amount
I remember
you wanted.
Half of the ice box was this big block of ice,
mm-hmm.
and the
mm-hmm.
other half is where you had to put all your stuff, the milk and all of that. But I remember that clearly. It's like they cut the ice to the exact size of the ice
mm-hmm.
box was in those days. It was
mm-hmm.
very cleverly done, if I may say so myself.
Mm-hmm.
No, if anyone, I have several people open on the board, and if you remember anything and you want to, I'm going to close some of the, Leah, are you finished?
Well, you can have
you
my...
You can close me.
Okay, you are
listen.
78691?
Right, you can close me and I just...
Okay, all right, you can hit again if you want to talk to me.
Okay.
All right, now... Let me ask, who remembers the school dentist? When dentists came to school?
Oh, heavens, yes.
and you had to line up outside, and you could hear the pain and agony of the person in the chair. I remember that clearly, and I think that's why to this day, I'm talking about it now, and I'm actually breaking out in a sweat.
Me too. I was afraid myself.
Agonizing. Talk about psychological brutality.
I remember.
Because why they had to line us up close to where all of this was being done, I have no idea. But in those days, you know, people didn't think of those things. The important thing is that they were getting our teeth taken care of. And in those days, if it had a little cavity, they yanked it out.
They took the whole tooth,
Out it came. There was no,
feeling.
You know, fixing it.
No.
It was yanking it.
And
I think I fear the dentist to this day because of that. I don't know if anybody else
wants
to talk about their experience,
but
to me that was a very traumatic experience that I can never wipe out of my head.
Yeah.
And it's just since I'm starting to put together the information that for this show, I realize that I've never ever warmed up to the dentist.
Yeah.
It's always a big issue for me, even to clean my gums. And now I realize, I remember standing outside and hearing the children hollering as they would rip the teeth out of their mouth. Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
But that was way back when.
Do you remember the Victrola?
Had one of that in your, you perhaps was the first one to have one of those in your house.
His master's voice.
His master's voice. You're right. Do you remember the carrier that they made?
That is the carrier. And I thought how clever it was. Because you had a compartment. You know, one for the
meat,
appetizer. Whatever the appetizer
soup,
would be, whether it's soup or whatever.
Uh-huh.
One for the main course, that the meat didn't touch the vegetables and the food.
Right.
And
with about four or five compartments.
Oh, yes. I see some more hands that I haven't opened up the mic. So please bear with me while I have you join the Labrish. 770-926, your mic is open. Who do I have?
Yes, Miss Margaret, this is Sonia.
Hi, Miss Sonia. Welcome to the backyard.
Yes, ma'am.
And you like to tell us something you remember?
Oh, I remember the clothes iron. Remember those clothes iron that you had to heat up on the coal?
Oh, yes. And I go one more. This is one for the tailor. I think I mentioned it before, where they used to put the coal inside the iron.
It was about the same time, I think.
Yeah,
the one for the tailor was the more sophisticated one.
Right. And it was heavy, I remember.
Yes, very heavy.
The name
and
of
it had
it was
steam.
Belvita. The name of
Belvita.
Belvita iron.
Really?
Belvita.
That was a manufacturer?
Yes,
I
that's
guess
the name,
so.
Belvita
that's
iron.
The people who make cheese now.
Yes.
Or the name of a cheese.
Yes.
They went from iron to cheese.
Janine, what did you call that iron? I have one of them here that I use as a doorstop.
Selvita.
That's Selvita.
That's the tailor one. That's the tailor one.
Not the tailor one. The other one.
The other one, that was just the ordinary
That was just
the
ordinary iron.
Oh, well, that's all right. No matter. I have one. I don't know when I might have to use it if the electricity doesn't come on. I've had the loss of electricity for 4 or 5 days already, so.
Then you'll need your coal.
Yeah, but the one that you use to
coal to heat it up.
The one that you use on the coal stove was Selvita.
Yes.
Are you saying with an S? Selvita. I'm sorry. I thought you said Velvita.
No,
so let's stand corrected. Selvita was the manufacturer of that iron.
Yes.
Okay, and that's the one you put the coal in.
That's
no,
the one.
I remember I had an uncle-in-law.
You put it on the coal stove.
Yeah. No, I'm talking about
the one. I thought
that
was
the one
that you put the coal in.
No, that one. You put it on the coal stove, and then you have to, before you iron, you have to rub it off with a cloth.
That is the regular one.
Yes.
But the one I'm talking about, it opens up at the top. You put the coal in it, light the coal, and it heats the whole iron. It's sort of thick.
Oh, okay. All right.
Are you familiar with that part?
No, the Selvita is the one that you put on. That's the Selvita is the one that's the iron. The iron.
The ordinary iron.
That's
yes.
the one you're
you,
using
you
as the stop now, BJ. So you're doing okay.
The tailors used to use that one. The other one you're talking about, Margaret, you put the coal in that one.
That's the one the tailor uses.
Yes,
what
and
was
they
the
had
name
a way
of
having
one?
It steam too. There was
right.
water
was
in there too.
One?
I don't know.
But it used to have steam coming out and go when he's ironing.
That's right.
Okay, I see 267977 would like to join the Labridge. Welcome, this is Margaret in the backyard. Who do I have?
Yes, hi. This is Dion. I was invited on the line by my mother who lives in Atlanta. Her name is Sheila Vernon. Just wanted to mention, I was listening to the gentleman from the Bronx, and I just want to thank him for that history that he shared. I was born about 4 years after Jamaica's independence, so you can get a sense of my age. And I
you're
left
a
Jamaica.
Teeny weeny.
That's my daughter's age.
Interesting. Well, welcome to the show, and perhaps you have not tuned in before, but we have the archives of all the shows we've done, and we're 2.5 years that we've been doing this show, and all of the shows are archived, you know, by month, so you can always scroll down if you go to the Blog Talk Radio website.
Okay.
You can scroll down and just select a show. And you can listen to it while you're checking your email or doing anything at your computer. All of our shows are archived, and we have covered a lot of historical stuff. And as Lay, our co-host this evening, said, you know, he was just sort of giving captioning some of the details, some of the events that we have covered in details. So there's a lot of history that we're just learning about. And I am sort of getting a lot of this information from historians that are doing this research now. And it's all online, but, you know, it's sometimes easier to listen to it than to read it. So I want to welcome you as being a first-timer, and thank you for tuning in, and hope that you'll come often and participate. So we really appreciate you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I was really hoping to hear a little bit more from him, but sounds as if you're on to a different portion of your call. But
right. And actually, if you after we come off the air or tomorrow or sometime, if you just click on the link where it says what we're talking about tonight, which is things that we remember that is not in use anymore, you'll hear the whole show. So that's the neat thing about this platform. You know, we're on a normal radio show. Once you miss the broadcast, you miss the broadcast.
Yeah, okay.
But with this format, because of the technology that we're embracing here in the backyard, you are able to listen at your convenience. So if you are, and you can always go to our website, which is www.backyardlabrish.com, and you'll also see an icon that will lead you to all the shows there.
Okay, great. Thank you.
So you can really catch up on your history, and if you know young people that perhaps have left the island and don't know a lot about the history, and they are interested in history, because you really have to be interested in history, you can send them the link. You know, you can copy and paste the link of any particular show and just send it to them. Or better yet, you can invite them to have their email added to the list. For the Backyard Labrish, I only send out promos about the upcoming show. I don't, you know, send anything else out. So thank you so much. And I'm really broadcasting to all the listeners. The board is full tonight. I want to tell everybody how I appreciate them. And at any time, and for my new fan, I don't know if your mom explained to you what a labrish is. Did you know what a labrish meant?
Yeah, I do know that from you know, my Jamaica. Yes, I did. That's when I heard the name of it, she told me, I said, yeah, I have to join and listen in. So
But for the visitors to Jamaica, or the foreigners, or the Jamaicans, or Jabrits, or Jacans, or whatever they call themselves, that it would be children with a Jamaican parent. Well, I mean, that might not have a lot of experience to actually experience the culture, but they're interested in learning about it. Backyard Labrish and Blog Talk Radio is a great place to learn at your convenience, because, as I say, you can be doing something else while you're listening. So that's my little promo to get more visitors. So I just want to tell everybody on the board so that I'm really, you can really help us by spreading the word about what we do here in Backyard Labrish. And again, I'll tell you what the whole objective is to celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica. Miss Janine and Lay, everybody now,
land
we love. So although we might not be going back, because I don't really see myself going back to live, to retire, and, you know, I'm very happy with where I am right now. I would have loved to be able to go there and retire, but, you know, for several reasons, it's not going to happen. I have to be real. So, but I can live on my wonderful memories, and I do visit occasionally. I can live on my wonderful memories because, you know, Lay mentioned something as he was growing up and his father would take him certain places. And, you know, we didn't know, we were not exposed at the time in school about a lot about what happened during slavery and all of that. We weren't. I know I wasn't. And however, when I look back, I know that I had a happy childhood. When I look back, I realize how happy I really was. I loved being there. I loved what I did. And as Janine mentioned, there was so much freedom. It was just marvelous. And I realized how much I loved there when I moved here. Because when I moved here, my first experience was in New York. And when I saw how restricted the children then were, I really came into the appreciation of how I grew up and where I grew up. So that is one of the reasons why I decided, since I'm retired and I have this passion for leaving a history and I have this passion for my culture, that I would start this show. And I just can't even believe that it's 2.5 years. I'm still doing it. I absolutely love it. I really didn't even realize that it would grow so much, because as I'm looking at the board now, I have there's a whole lot of numbers on the board. So people are calling in, even though they might not be putting up their hands to join the Labrish. And the numbers, the Blog Talk Radio keeps a count. And I remember some of my fans that are with me for a long time can remember when I announced that we were at 10,000 downloads. Can anyone remember that?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, everybody's, I remember you saying that, yes.
Well, I just looked tonight, and we're almost to 30,000 downloads.
Congratulations.
So my point is, between 10 and 30
Congrats.
Was a very short time.
Congrats.
Well, thank you all for being so supportive and spreading the word. So now I want to talk about something that I know that perhaps is not being used anymore, but I remember I didn't use it, to be very frank with you, but the coconut brush that shined the floor.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Anybody remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I remember that. Uh-huh.
But
I remember.
And, you know, it might sound crude, but I remember my little cousins used to call the helpers who did the floor
uh-huh.
mechanics. Anybody remember that name?
No.
No, I don't remember that, but I remember they're saying
remember
that,
the brush.
That the helper would pitch poopa lick on the floor.
What, but they used to make music sounds. Do you remember that?
Yes.
You'd
remember
like
that.
Pitch poopa lick.
I used to say it's like mosquito one, mosquito two, mosquito jumping on, hallelujah. But that is how it used to sound to me.
Yeah. Sound like
and
a
I remember the floor used to be so beautiful.
Ooh, yes.
It
mm-hmm.
was like shellacked.
Mm-hmm.
You
no,
know,
it's hard work.
But remember now, and it came for the visitors who might come by later and don't know what I'm talking about. It was a brush that was cut from a dried coconut. Am I right?
Yes, a very, very... a mature coconut, not a young one.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the quality of the brush depended on how well cured the fruit was before you cut it.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
how tightly knit
mm-hmm.
it's like the part, the straw part
mature.
Was that would... develop
the
well
shine. Mm-hmm.
Right. And I remember whoever was going to use it would be selective in how it looked. They could look at it and tell if it would give the shine they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, go on, BJ.
And Margaret, I think, if I remember well, you know, at my age, that coconut brush was also used to make mattresses, and they used to call them coir mattresses.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
I remember.
Yeah.
I thought that was a different material, though.
No, that's coconut.
For some reason, I thought it was
the coconut.
You could be right.
Coconut, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, if
that's
you think
coconut.
Of it, Leigh, if you think of it, how I would say we could... repurpose, they would call it now, in this modern day, we could repurpose anything.
Mm-hmm.
I think we were, what do you call it now when you...
Recycling from years ago.
We were recycling.
Yes. Yeah, recycling.
Mm-hmm. Before the word was coined.
Who
remember the bottle woman who would come by and buy bottles?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And they
would
call out, and if you had a bottle, you would take it out to them. We never threw the bottles out.
Do you know where she took the bottles to?
Beg
your pardon? Do you know where
she took the bottles? The hospital.
Yes, the dispensary at the hospital.
Right. I know that. Did anyone know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I knew she came for the bottles, so I didn't know where they went.
Yeah, took it to
right.
the dispensary.
And I think that was only in Kingston. Perhaps
no,
it was people who grew
no.
up in the country.
No, in the country too.
Really? They used to buy the bottles?
Yeah, because I'm from Savlamar area, and it used to be done there.
Right. I remember that clearly. And the bottles were usually bought by women.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. I remember that clearly. I don't think that is being done anymore. So what else does anybody remember?
Anybody remembers the snowball man?
I don't know if you spoke about it before, but do you remember the outdoor toilet?
Oh, yes. Outhouse. Well, I remember in Savlamar, this is way back, you know,
mm-hmm.
my aunt had a fairly big house.
Yeah.
The kitchen was not attached. I remember she had one of those iron stoves with the thing that go up in the roof.
Right.
And we were not even allowed to, we could just pass the door of the kitchen. When I tell people I didn't come here and didn't know to cook, they don't believe. But we just passed the door of the kitchen because that place was so hot.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that stove. It was a big stove.
Yep, big iron-looking stove.
Big iron-looking stove. So everything was, I remember my aunt and my great-aunt used to bake a lot. So that would be mixed up, like in the dining room where we would, you know, sit and eat or wherever. And then the helper would come and take it to the kitchen and put it in the stove.
But have you ever thought of it that there was no
house?
Have you ever thought of it there was no temperature to regulate?
Right, but everything came out perfect. Everything came out perfect.
Oh, yeah. Sure did.
Now, I remember Aunt Lola used to make asham on the zinc. Anybody know what asham is?
Yes.
Is it
corn?
It's a corn.
Yeah,
that's
made with corn.
Yes, it's made
the
out
corn
of corn.
But the corn is roasted first.
Right,
there's another
right.
name for it, too, but I don't remember offhand.
Right. Now, who remembers when the tambourine drink, you would put the soda in it?
Yes.
Make
yes.
the froth to make a head?
That's right. Yeah.
And did you ever put any ashes on the tambourine, too, and eat it?
Oh, no.
Oh, never did that.
No.
That is really funny. Ashes, what did that do?
I had it once and I liked it.
Oh, really?
I only did it once. You know, I'll do anything once. That's me.
I know. It sounds like you were a tomboy.
I don't know what I was. And the stoves that we used to put the irons in, Janine. Remember you used to make dumplings and put it underneath the bottom so the dumpling could roast underneath there?
Oh.
Oh, no, don't tell me. I'm the only one that used to do that, too.
See, you are a trailblazer.
And then you turn it over, man, so that when it's cooked, man, it tastes good. And then the snowball man. Remember the snowball man used to get a back and front?
Oh, yes, back and front. I remember
back and
that.
Front was the ice
cream. The snowball man and the ice cream,
yes.
Yes, let's talk about some utensils that perhaps aren't being used anymore. Who remember the calabash?
Oh, yes.
Calabash.
I remember the calabash.
Sort of thing.
Yes.
Well, you know, Country Beaver used to use it. I know it existed. I mean,
it did.
Savlamar was sort of a country town, and it wasn't really a country.
Yeah.
So we never used
it. I remember, seeing it. They would maybe serve soup or porridge
water.
In it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I remember.
But who remember the yabba pot? Yabba.
Oh, of course.
Okay.
I have
so the
one right here now.
Pot was made of clay?
Clay, yes.
Yeah.
And it was like baked and all of that. What was I remember the yabba, but I don't remember what it was like a mixing bowl?
No, it was a pot that you put on the fire and cooked whatever you wanted in there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you could cook yam and dumpling and anything.
I don't remember it used that way.
Yeah, I
don't remember it used that way,
I remember
but what
it
I do remember is that at Christmas time, we would get this big cured ham, and nobody had a pot it could fit in, so there was a kerosene tin. You know, I don't know if kerosene came in it, but it was a big tin.
Uh-huh.
Big, it was, this is the repurposing part of the culture. But whatever came in this big can that they put on the stove, not the stove, but they would make up like a wood fire outside.
Outdoor fire. Mm-hmm.
Right. And this pan would be what you put the ham to boil in.
Yes.
Oh.
Anybody remember that?
Yeah,
and I remember that aroma from that cooking.
Uh-huh.
We weren't allowed to even go near to the stove. Now, who remember when we had homegrown chickens, and it was time for the chickens to get to the table? How they used to do it.
You get a pan and you put over the chicken to the neck, and then you got to mash it.
Oh,
and you,
God. What do you used to hear?
And then he'd got a chicken, and that poor chicken would be all over the place.
Yeah. No, it would be under the pan.
Yeah, but
and all you would hear
out.
Is it knocking up against the pan.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I remember that sound. I used
to
run and hide.
You have to hold that pan.
Yeah, somebody...
My mother had a better way of doing it in Honduras. She, when we were going to have a turkey for Christmas, she would
uh-huh.
feed the turkey 2 or 3 tablespoons of rum. And just...
What?
That, she got drunk and went on drunk and started walking around the room. You know, now you can tell he was drunk. She went soft with his hand. And the meat tasted better, too.
Oh, my gosh. But that was smart. Because at least the turkey's big, you'd have to have a big pan to put over that turkey.
Yeah. So drunken
stop
turkey.
It from jumping around. So
oh,
I remember that the helpers used to put their foot on the pan.
Yes.
So that it wouldn't move.
Yeah.
No, as a child, I hated that part of it.
Yeah, I hated that. I hated that.
And then I used to watch them pluck it.
Yes.
Pluck it, take the feathers
I
out,
like
and you pour hot water on it.
Yeah, I used
at
to
first,
hate that.
And then I remember they would put salt, coarse salt, to take the fine feathers off. Who remember that?
Mm-hmm.
They used to burn it too. They
yes,
to get the fine feathers off.
Yeah,
they'd
didn't
singe
they call
it,
singe
it off. Singe. They'd singe
singe.
It off.
Oh, singe. Singe. I got it.
Yeah, singe.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, boy, we're going way back.
Yeah, that's way back.
Yes. Now,
in
terms of
man?
Toys,
do you remember
I remember that my boy cousins used to play with gigs. They used to call them gigs. They call them tops now.
Yes.
Yeah.
But they were crafted differently in those days.
Mm-hmm.
And they were, you know, when you spin them, they would spin forever.
And there was the other game, the Jack.
Oh, yes, Jack.
Jack, yes. Well, my daughter still plays Jacks. I think the kids still play Jacks now.
I haven't seen that.
I haven't seen that. I don't see them. Maybe they're playing them where you are, but not where I am.
Not
in
Jamaica.
My daughter, when we lived in Miami, she played Jacks, yes.
Did you hear that, Margaret?
I think she's having Jacks.
Margaret?
Mm-hmm.
Margaret, not in Jamaica, dear.
Oh, I'm sure, not in Jamaica.
No.
They're watching the
they're
same
the computer.
Shows that kids here are watching.
Yes, they're on the computer.
Now, I see 631-472 would like to join the Lavrish. Thank you for holding. This is Margaret in the backyard. Who do I have? Hello? 631-472? Do you want to join the Lavrish? I guess not.
Yes.
Okay, all right. Who do we have?
This is Paulette.
Oh, hi, Paulette. Good
How
evening.
Are you?
Backyard. Just great.
Good. I'm Janine's sister.
Oh, hi there. Welcome.
Thank you. I've been on before, but I'm enjoying it. And I think I tried to get on before, even from the Caledonia, the stove, the big iron stove that
the
you were referring to. It was called the Caledonia.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, Caledonia.
That's right.
Well, you know,
that's
you learn.
Right.
Hey. I never knew the name of it. I don't
don't
remember the name of
Caledonia.
It. Caledonia.
Really.
Mm-hmm.
So, but one of my fond memories, I remember when we used to go to the Blue Fields or someplace, you know, where we would swim.
Mm-hmm.
And not too far, there were sometimes fishermen coming in with their catch, and they would string them on some sort of leaf. I can't remember. It's not a rope. I'm trying to remember what they used to string the fish on. And you could see the fish jumping. It was jumping in the canoe, and they would then string it on that. Anybody remember that?
I remember that, but I don't. It's like a vine almost.
Yes.
Vine.
Yeah, I think it was
a
vine.
Like.
Right, yeah.
Very strong.
But my point is, fishes at that time were not sold by the pound. They were just strung up and they would put a price on it.
Oh.
Do you remember that? Didn't have a scale weighing it.
I remember weighing it.
Really?
Yes.
And then they put it on the string?
Yeah, they had a scale with them.
Oh,
that's how I remember.
Well, perhaps I missed the weighing part.
Maybe it was a little later.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I go way back before you.
Yes.
I think they used to put it in baskets. And you would buy the fish
and
by the
it with
put in the basket.
And with ice. With
yes.
No, but I'm talking about right at the seaside.
Yes.
It wasn't in
yes.
the basket. It was coming from the boat, the bottom of the canoe.
Right.
The string.
And a lot of Estonian, right there.
Because Kingston or the cities are sort of sometimes were a lot more modern than the country parts, some of the country parts.
So
I want to take a minute to remind our listeners that you're listening to Backyard Labrish on Blog Talk Radio. We're here each Wednesday at 8 o'clock where we celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica. So I want to, we have some more time. Let me look how much time we have. So, I invite you to, we have a few minutes remaining. If anyone on the board that have not had a chance to tell the world what they remember or ask a question, you may do so now. So I have almost everybody's mic is open, 718 open, 301 open, 770-926 open, and 631-472. So I see 770-412, it looks like, or 413, would like to join the Labrish. So I'm opening up the mic. Welcome, you've got Margaret. Who do I have?
Margaret, this is Sheila.
Hi, Miss Sheila. Welcome to the backyard. Where are you calling from? I know, but you got to let the rest of the callers know.
Okay. My daughter just spoke to you, Dion.
Uh-huh.
And I am calling to go back on this Yaba stuff.
Okay. We're back on the Yaba.
The Yaba was not a pot.
No, it wasn't. You're correct. It was a bowl.
A mixing bowl.
Yes, and the inside.
At Christmas time when you're rubbing up your cake.
Yes.
That's what they used to rub up the butter and the sugar in.
Exactly, and the inside was glazed.
It was glazed, exactly.
Right.
And so may I say something now, ladies and Mr. Gentleman? The old lady here, not so rough, because that's what I said.
Yeah, but let me tell you what happens now. Remember, I lived in two places, and in Honduras, that's what we used to cook our peas in. It was a yaba pot that we used to cook it in Honduras.
Oh.
And so I'm probably getting, mixed up with the two places.
Right.
But that was the thing. We cooked all the beans in. I shouldn't say peas. I should say beans. And they came out very, very good. But it was that kind of pot. And, yes, the inside of it was glazed. And
that is right. Well, in Jamaica, I remember, you have met family members sort of specialized in different things. And I had one great aunt that baked wedding cakes. So I remember her using this, yaba.
Yeah, the yaba.
But do you know if they were made on the island? Anybody knows that?
Yes, made from clay.
Yeah,
I know it's made
from
clay, but was it made in Jamaica?
It was made in Jamaica.
I think
there were.
Yes, it was made in Jamaica.
Yeah.
Let me go back to the kerosene tin. Kerosene tin, the Chinese that usually have their shops, they used to get coconut oil in that kerosene tin. And when it is finished.
So it was really a coconut oil pan.
Yes.
And not a kerosene pan.
They call it kerosene tin. They call it kerosene tin. But it's really coconut oil that came into it.
I remember it now that you say it. Yes.
What they used to cook in that kerosene tin is curry goat.
But I know we used to
fire.
I think it was
multi-purpose.
They used to make the fire outside with bricks and wood. And that's where they used to cook if they're having a party. That's where they used to put that kerosene tin and cook that curry goat out there, and it was very delicious.
I think it was multi-purpose.
Yes,
and
they used to do soups in it.
It was also used to boil white
coconut.
White clothes, they help.
Oh, yes, that's
right.
Before bleach.
Before bleach.
It had a lot of purposes.
Towels and white clothes.
I remember
one other thing that used to be at in Above Rocks in Catherine, they used to boil the coconut oil in there, and you'd get the oil separate from the custard, and that's what I used to use it for, too.
Right. The coconut oil, Yeah.
And who remember when the older grandparents and great-grandparents used to cook the coconut to get the oil with garlic just because you had a cough on your chest?
Yes.
So it would be homemade. And they would, you know, cook down the coconut and get the oil, and the garlic was in there.
Yep.
I remember that. And who remember when we were treated when we had a congestion on the chest with a poultice?
Cornmeal poultice.
Right.
Poultice still goes on.
Beg your pardon?
Poultice still being used.
In Jamaica?
Yeah, all over.
The rest of the world, especially where we live in America, is just discovering, not just, but I mean recently, long after we knew, that you can absorb medication through the skin. Because we were always into rubbing. Remember when you used to coil a pepper leaf and put on a boil?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's because we knew that it would draw up the infection. They're just getting into patches over the past perhaps 15 years here. But I'm talking about 50, 60 years ago. We were doing things like that.
Yeah, a poultice.
Right. Because the whole concept of that, or the premise of that, that even though it was applied outside, it was penetrating the skin.
Yeah.
So now
when I hear that they're giving you
medication in a patch.
Yeah. It wasn't used at home. It wasn't just used at home. It was even used in hospitals, say even in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
The poultice.
Right. In Jamaica.
Well, even England.
Yeah.
A poultice is a very popular thing. Yeah, we use it a lot in Jamaica, but even in England, in the hospital, they had things like mustard poultice. You know, not just cornmeal, but, you know, from other stuff.
Right.
Other things, different.
It's the same thing.
But
the whole
trying to get yourself pretty. Isn't that what you put on your face?
The whole thing is that the poultice would keep the heat in.
Right.
Things like cornmeal. Cornmeal keeps hot for a long time.
Cornmeal.
You know.
Now, who remembers in the old days when a person gave birth, how long did it take before you came outside?
3 months.
9 days.
9 days.
Days at least. Didn't see light of day
until 9 days
after. But if you think back, the children being born then were a lot more delicate, I think. I see babies born now and they're looking around. I remember the babies born then, you used to have to support their neck.
Yeah.
Anybody remember that?
Well,
if you don't put your hand in the back of the baby's neck,
the baby would be flopping around. Margaret, you're still supposed to support the neck.
I know you're still supposed to. But
I've
seen baby come out
and them looking around. I never saw that when I was young.
Yeah, but you still have to support their neck.
They should do. But my point is, the babies didn't even open their eyes.
Yeah.
So when the mother brought the baby out at 9 days, you could see the baby open up the eyes because it was so bright because of where we live, you know.
The
sun, you know, being near to the equator, the sun is more brilliant. So I can see why perhaps in those days it was to protect, part of it was to protect the child's vision, I suppose.
Yeah.
But when I look back at all the things we used to do, whether health-wise and otherwise, I said, you know, it was really the good old days because we were recycling, we were repurposing because we found several uses for one thing. And even when we got to the stage where we became more modernized because it was available to us, we would preserve the aluminum foil, right? So people would clean it off and fold it up to reuse it again. In the old days. So I really enjoy celebrating, and as I mentioned to the fans and to listeners who may come by later on, things have changed all over the world, not only in Jamaica. And in some cases, for the better, in some cases it can be viewed as not a positive change. You know what I mean? But here on the in the backyard, my focus is always celebrating the things and hoping that in celebrating the good things, the younger people who might not have been brought up during those times will still have appreciation for how very special and fortunate I believe I am for being born on the island. That's it. And I'm saying that really from the heart. So I don't know how any of my other fans feel, and if anybody would like to express or piggyback on that or, you know, just tell me how they feel. But I just am so thankful every day that I was born there during that period. I mean, I just have nothing but joy when I think about it. Hello?
Well. Yes. What, did everybody desert us?
Oh, no, they're listening.
Well, I was not born in Jamaica, but actually Jamaica is my second home. And anybody says, nobody dares say anything about Jamaica to me, or I'll be on top of them, you know, like ticks on a cow. And I appreciate the time that I spent there. Of course, the nuns, you know, no wonder I was so bad because I was in, in a convent, growing up in a convent, and I really loved the place. I would really love to go back there, but as Margaret said, I don't think I could live there. I don't think, after being away for so long, I don't think I could make it there again. Probably I could, because I'm a very adjustable person. But I love the place. I love the people. There are I still have lots of friends that I went to grade school with. I mean, in fact, a while ago while I was talking to you, one of them just called me, and I said to her, "Hey, I can't talk to you. I'm on a blog." I'll call you back in a few minutes. We went to school from we were 4 years old, you know, and I love the place.
So how long did you spend in Jamaica, BJ?
About 25 years. Years.
So you see, even though you weren't born there, you spent more time than I did, and I was born there. Go figure, as they would say here. So thank you for sharing that with us and the rest of the world. Is there anybody else on the board that would like to say how they feel about being born in Jamaica?
How about your co-host? Where's your co-host?
He's still there. Ms. DeLay from the Bronx, home of the Yankees?
Yes, ma'am.
Speak.
Oh, well, you know, I'm still glad. I tell everybody that don't believe that I was from Jamaica, that it is a wonderful place to be born and grow. When I went to school, we had things that we don't have now, public speaking, we had elocution, we had debating society, we had plays.
Mm-hmm.
And all these things were on the syllabus. You had to learn it. Now I'm not sure that they have any of these things. So, you know, the culture changed in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't give a dime to be born anywhere else and grew up anywhere else.
Well, thank you so much. And to piggyback on what you said about, you know, the curriculum, I remember in school, in public school, I went to a church school, of course, and I remember our singing teacher, our music teacher to this day, because I remember the whole class was involved in singing. And we were, I think our voice was sort of tested. She would she'd hit our little fork on the desk, put it up, and it would make a sound, and she'd say, me, 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 me. And then you would have to say that, and she decides whether you are a soprano, an alto, or a tenor.
Mm-hmm.
So you were grouped. You know, I can't remember if it was at the beginning of the year or when the class get together. So... So when it's time for singing, you go with your group. If you're an alto, you go stand up at the altars. And this is co-ed. This was boys and girls. I'm talking about the elementary level. And I still remember songs that we sung. And what do you call
mm-hmm.
it when the group start a song here and then the other group start the same
around.
Song? What is it called?
A round.
Okay. And I think it's three, like about three rounds.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it would go like that. So the sopranos would start, then the altos would start, then the tenors would start. And
mm-hmm.
it was so beautiful. I can remember songs that we sung like that to
mm-hmm.
this day. And I'm talking about, I don't even have to tell you. I don't even want to tell you.
I can remember. I can remember. Did you sing the one, Oh, the Brown Cow Has Broken Out and Eaten Off the High?
No, but
no,
I remember, oh, gentle breeze, softly blow, da 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 da.
Oh, boy.
Who remembers that?
I remember that one. And, you know, I was even in a play. I was in an all-girls school, and I was
uh-huh.
a boy, would you believe?
Oh, yes, I know you are a tomboy. Did you wear the clip on your pants when you hopped on the bicycle?
No, because it had a guard over the chain.
Oh, I got you. You were in the days of the guard.
Yeah. Well, okay.
I remember, I don't know if the bicycles or where the bicycles were made. In those days, I don't think we got things from America. It was more England and Hong Kong, because
mm-hmm.
Hong Kong belonged to England at the time. But we had a carrier on the back of the bicycle.
Uh-huh.
And it would be like a seat that people would
yes.
sit on, and the girls would sit. You couldn't ride it, put your foot over like the rider was riding. So you would sit, you know,
you
like a lady with your legs crossed, sort of sitting cat a corner, as I call it, on
uh-huh.
the back of the bicycle.
Yeah, we
and I remember as a child, I was on the back. Somebody was taking me home. And I was so skinny, and now you would call it anorexic, that I fell off of that darn
oh, no.
seat, and the man didn't even miss me.
Sorry.
Right? I was not even missed. He was just riding Mary along. And then I suppose he tried to talk to me. I realized I wasn't there.
I hope you didn't hurt yourself.
I think I still have some marks for it. But my point is, the bicycle was not a bicycle made for two, because on the back of where this carrier was, you could put a package or, you know, whatever. Your
yes.
books or whatever. But it didn't have the basket like they have in the front now with the fancy stuff and all of that. Well, we didn't have that.
I told one on the back and one on the front at the same time, Margaret.
Beg your pardon?
I towed one on the back and one on the handlebars at the same time.
Oh, my gosh. Isn't that something? So
That's why I think I'm so healthy today.
Yeah. Yes, we have 5 more minutes. So if anyone else would like to say how they feel about growing up in Jamaica, if they did, when they did, feel free to do so now.
Or forever hold your peace.
Right. Do I have any takers for this offer?
Come on, ladies, talk.
Well, I just cannot say enough about how I appreciate everybody. And I always invite you that if you want to hear something special, just let me know. And I see 631-451, your mic is open, so you may join the library. We have a few more minutes.
Yeah, I guess you closed me off because I've been trying for several times to say something and couldn't. So I guess you closed me off.
Yeah, sometimes this technology is not all perfect, but you're open now.
Yes, I heard my sister, she came on, which was good because I told her about the show.
Thank you.
I just want to say that I am also happy with the time that I grew up in Jamaica, because in all honesty, I don't think I could live, you know, feel the way I felt when I grew up at that time, because it's so different now. I remember us sitting on our veranda. We were very privileged, so we had different things happening at all times, and we were free to sit on the veranda or to have friends over, and we could do that until late, and no one would, you know, do anything to us or cause any trouble. But now they're all caged in as if you're in a prison, which I really don't think I could handle that, because I was accustomed to the freedom at that time, and to adjust to that would be really hard. So I am really happy for the time that I grew up, because it was so much different, you know.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for sharing. And I always have one picture in my mind. You know, I left Jamaica in 1959, but I did go back for a short period when my daughter was born in 1970. And I remember when I was building a house in Montego Bay, and when I would take a trip to Montego Bay, I remember as I passed through the country parts, and there was, you know, there's a like a main shop in a little town.
Yes.
And I remember the kids would be there, no shoes, perhaps not the best of clothes, but music would be playing. And everybody would be just so happy and dancing. And it was like, you know, they didn't have any cares. They didn't have a lot. But they were always happy and making jokes with each other, even making jokes with other people. Because I remember there was something like I had a damage to my car, and when the car would pull up or pull by, they would make a face like to tell me that my car was broken. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I used to say to myself, isn't it wonderful how, although, as you said, Janine, you were privileged, but there were people who were not. But they were still not angry.
Right.
And they were happy.
Right.
You know, with whatever their activity was.
Right.
So, you know, I remember that very well.
Yes.
And I just want to say before we get off the air, we have 1 minute. You know, if we just, wherever we are in our consciousness or in our situation, if we just remember the happy times and think of good thoughts instead of fear and anger and, you know, regret, it's going to make life so much easier for everybody. So before we shut off in our 60 seconds, I want everybody to know that I really, really appreciate you. I would like to encourage you to spread the word about what we do here every week. Do come back often and stay long. So with that said, as we get off the air, I will say we are here each Wednesday at 8 o'clock to celebrate, enlighten, and preserve Jamaica, the rich
land,
diverse culture of Jamaica. 1, 2, 3.
Land
we
love.
Okay. I want to thank my co-host for being here with me and helping me out. I want to thank everyone who participated. I really enjoy it. And now the world knows more about what happened when we lived there.
Okay.
Isn't that great?
Yes. And
well, thank you all. And make it a great week.
Okay.
Good night,
bye.
All.
Thank
good
you.
Good night, all. And Margaret, I'm glad you're feeling better.
Thank you, sweetie.
Okay.
I feel great.
Okay. Bye bye. Night.
Bye.
Peace out.
Bye.
Bye.
Love you.
Love you too.